This morning we shall go back again to our studies out of the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Before we consider some of the words of the apostle again, let us pray and ask for the Lord's help. Let us pray together. Our blessed Lord and Savior, we thank you for that promise that you have given to your church that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of your people. Lord God, we believe in your presence, and we are here as your disciples. We are here, we desire to learn. And so we commit ourselves into your hand that you would guide us in our study of your truth this morning. And the Lord God, you would equip us to better serve you. We ask for your name's sake. Amen. Have you seen some of the advertisements put out by beaches and sandals resorts? In other words, they set before you these beautiful islands. And first of all, the camera shows you those beautiful, clean, white, sandy beaches. And they show you people on those beaches. And my, they're just relaxing. And then you have some families. Oh, they're walking up and down. The kids are splashing in the water. Isn't it beautiful? And then they'll take you out by way of the camera to some kind of a glass-bottom boat, and that water is so clear and blue, and you can look down to the bottom and see all of that marine life. And then you have pictures of people that are snorkeling or they're scuba diving. And then they move into the island and they show you your accommodations. What a beautiful place. And you have that balcony you can stand and you can look out over that beautiful blue water. And then there's that large swimming pool. And oh, the family and the kids just love going down that watery slipper slide. And then, of course, the food. The food is outstanding and people are eating and drinking and laughing. There's entertainment and there's someone there always waiting upon you. And the point is, isn't that life? What a great life! But I suggest to you that's not real life in this world. Oh, for maybe 2 or 3 weeks for the wealthy or those who want to go in debt head over heels. That might be a little break from the routine, but again, even in that paradise, everything doesn't go perfectly. There's some trouble, there's some problems. But real life in this world, what's it like? Well, you know as well as I do. Life in this world consists of a lot of work. A lot of hard work. Life in this world consists of some disappointments. It consists of some sorrow. It consists of sickness. It consists of a lot of pain. And then there is death. That's life in this world. Well, you see, we need to remember because we're so prone to forget that we live in a fallen world. Ever since our first parents disobeyed God, they brought upon themselves guilt. We share in that guilt. There is that terrible pollution. We have that pollution. And then there is the curse of God upon this beautiful earth. There is the wrath of God. And so you see, in this life, there are difficulties. Oh, so many difficulties. Oh, so many struggles. Yes, according to the common grace of God, the operation of the Holy Spirit, we enjoy blessings. We enjoy some happiness. But it's mingled with a lot of difficulties. There are struggles in this life. But what about the Christian? Well, who is the Christian? Well, the Christian is the person who has had all of his sins forgiven in this life. The Christian is one who, by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, has a new heart and mind, a new disposition. He has a new attitude towards God and towards life. He loves the Lord God and he wants to serve the Lord God with all of his being. Well, he is a man who's been declared righteous. He's covered in the perfect obedience of Christ. He stands before God, no condemnation. He is a man who has the Holy Spirit and a sanctifying influence is going on. And more he seeks to put to death the remains of that sin. He's a man adopted into the family of God and experiences His care. He's a man who looks forward to that eternal kingdom. All that being true, still, the believer is a person who must struggle and strive to have a life that is fruitful and honoring to God. The believer is one who must strive. A believer is one who must labor to have a life that is fruitful and pleasing to God. And needless to say, that is a lesson that's taught throughout the Scripture. And I think it's a lesson that comes out in our Scripture passage for this morning. And so now I direct your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I shall read the first 7 verses. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen." This morning we shall focus upon verses 3-7. And the last time we took note of that exhortation, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You be strong in His favor. Be strong in His power. Timothy, you're going to need it. If you're going to hold fast, as I said in verse 13, to that pattern of sound words, Timothy. Timothy, if you're going to be able to cope with those who depart from the faith, you'll see it. You'll experience. It can break your heart. Add to that, Timothy, what you've been instructed by me, you need to pass on to other men. You need to have some discernment about the men that you're going to train so that they might be able to teach others. And then, Timothy, all that I've said so far, I want to give you 3 illustrations to help you remember how you must labor and what you are up against. And so he gives these 3 illustrations. And the first one we want to look at, we'll do so considering this matter of devotion. The believer has to be devoted to living out the Christian life. And we'll put an adjective there. He has to be fully devoted to living out the Christian life. A life that honors God. A life that has fruit that is pleasing to God. Fully devoted. Now probably most of us here, maybe even presently, we know about part-time work. We had part-time jobs in high school or in college. And maybe even now to make ends meet, there's that part-time job you appreciated. But it's only part-time, and if, you know, you can always drop it. Living out the Christian life is not part-time work. Living out the Christian life, you give yourself to it. You need to be fully devoted to it. And so look at this illustration that he uses here. "You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You've got to endure hardness. A soldier is one who endures hardness. Now that word endure there, as it's translated, endure hardness, is the same word that was used over in chapter 1, verse 8, and it speaks about share with me in the sufferings. And so Timothy, the Christian life is going to involve some sufferings. It's going to involve some endurance. It's going to involve some struggles. And you notice how Paul brings in this matter of a good soldier. Quite often the Apostle Paul liked to use military terms, and he referred to soldiers, and I wonder why he referred to soldiers so often as he did. Well, he lived at a time when he saw many of those Roman soldiers marching by. Plus, Paul was a man who had a little personal acquaintance, you see, with some of those Roman soldiers when he was under arrest. And Paul, like all of us, if he's going to speak and instruct about something, what does he do? Well, he uses things he's experienced in his own life, things that he sees and those around him at that time, they had seen. So he uses the illustration, military terms. The fact that the Christian life involves kind of a warfare. And so we're familiar with this. You go back and you look, for example, at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And here he's speaking about this matter of dealing with the truth and fighting that which is false. And so he puts it forth this way. He says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not carnal, no. We don't use a literal sword or a spear or a gun. "But mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exists itself, exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." No, we use words, we use arguments, we use the truth of God, you see. We're in a battle. But then everyone's familiar with those words he wrote to the Ephesians. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit." You see, we are soldiers. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. He is the one who enlisted us. He is the one who brought us into His army. He is the one to whom we deserve devotion or give devotion. And we are those who obey like a soldier then. And even now, you take an oath, you will render obedience. And at times to render obedience to our great captain, Jesus Christ, it involves some difficulties. It may involve some dangers. But we are to obey and be faithful to our great captain. And you notice it says, good soldier, good soldier. Why would he say that? Well, could it be that not all soldiers are so good? Some are cowardly. Some are weaklings. Some are insubordinate. Timothy, don't let that be said about you. No, no, Timothy. You are to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he says, no one engaged in warfare. And once again, he brings out this matter. As believers, we are engaged in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. Every believer who's been brought out of darkness into the kingdom of light is someone who knows about a warfare. Well, what are we battling? What's the fight all about? Well, first and foremost, we could say that we have a battle with the flesh. Yes, we've been renewed. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're in the process of being sanctified and we are moving along in the way of holiness. But at the same time, there's that remaining corruption. that remaining sin within every true believer. You remember Paul made mention about this body of sin. You remember he made mention in that 7th chapter of Romans, I know in me that is within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And you see that remaining corruption, it has desires, it has ambitions, and it wants to be fulfilled, and to fulfill them, you engage in sin. So the believer is one like Paul says, I buffet my body, I bring it into subjection. Most likely that was had reference to physical appetites, really legitimate physical appetites. But you see, even legitimate physical appetites, they get out of hand. And then Paul, writing to the Galatians, says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that we cannot do the things we would. And so if you sit here as a believer, every week you know about that battle with the flesh. And sometimes it's so severe we cry out like the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. And sometimes the believer is amazed at that wickedness that yet abides in his heart. We are in a battle. We are to be good soldiers. And the battle's not over until the Lord calls us to glory. But not only our own flesh, but there's the world, isn't there? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you're out in public, do you see those things? Do you not see the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh? Do you not see the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? Oh, we live in a society of proud little peacocks. They're the most important thing in the world. The pride of life. We're not to be like that. And then Paul to the Romans, he said, don't allow yourself to be conformed to the image of this world. As you very well know, the world's always trying to shape us and mold us into its image. The world wants us to think like it thinks. And it's continually at work so many ways. The music of the world. That music seeking to conform you, shape you into its image. And then what about the field of entertainment? The field, the movies, if you go to them. All these things. Education system. Make you good little government children. All the pressure of the world, you see. You are to resist it. And so we're engaged, you see, in this battle. And needless to say, we all have a great adversary. As Peter tells us, rather, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're in a warfare. And we need this grace. We're to be like a good soldier. Oh, we have a great captain, a great leader who gives grace and strength. But there's something else. I want to engage in a good warfare. So what must I watch out for? Will you notice the words of the text? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Now, the term that is used there with reference to life, it has reference to the common things of life. You look over and look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it speaks about the fact that we need to pray that we might live a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. It has reference to the common affairs of life. And let's be honest, we all have certain affairs in this life you got to take care of. Yes, he's writing to Timothy, representative of the ministry, but a minister's got some affairs of life. If you're a husband, if you're a married man, you're a father, you've got responsibilities. You've got to provide.
You've got to care for a wife, for children, and you got a home? Don't you need to get things repaired and taken care of? Don't you have a car? Don't things break down at the house? Don't you have to take care of affairs of life?
And are we not citizens? A responsible citizen has a little bit of knowledge about what's going on in the political realm. There are certainly some things he wants to resist and make sure he votes against.
So the affairs of life. We all have affairs to take care of. Taxes to pay.
So what is being said here? Well, I think the key is this. Entangles himself. He entangles himself. In other words, would I be wrong in thinking it has reference to getting so involved in some affair of life that it hinders and pulls you away from your Christian responsibilities?
Is there something you're entangled in that keeps you away from church? Again and again keeps you away from church? Yes, there's legitimate things. A project has to be done at the job, and so there's extra time. Yes!
But that thing that so entangled you, is it a real necessity of life? Most often it's legitimate things that get us in trouble.
Legitimate activity!
But we go overboard on it, don't we? And the word here, from what I read outside the New Testament, sets forth the picture of a sheep. He's got a lot of wool on him, and he gets close to a thorn bush. Man, he's all tangled up. How do I get away? And doesn't that happen to us? Something so captivates us. It's the word, interestingly enough, that's used only one other place in the New Testament. And it comes out in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, referring to those who are involved in false teaching, who's received it. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are again entangled in them, and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Getting entangled in some of those old sins. Getting too close to certain things we know we should not. And so, Timothy, you need to endure. You're going to get involved in suffering. Think of this soldier. Timothy, beware of getting entangled in certain things. Remember, Timothy, you're a preacher, not a politician. Remember, Timothy, you're a preacher, not an athlete. Remember these things, Timothy. And Timothy, you want to please him who enlisted you as a soldier. That one who enlisted you as Christ. You want to please Christ. You want to obey the commands that come from your great captain. And so, Timothy, there's going to be times, difficult times. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Remember the soldier. Remember what he's had to go through, what he continually goes through. Remember that soldier out there in the battlefield. He doesn't get entangled with the affairs of this life. A man out on the battlefield doesn't put up a white flag and say, wait a minute, let me check on my cell phone and see how my stocks are doing. No, no. He gives himself to that battle. So there needs to be this devotion. Wholehearted devotion. And so you can ask yourself, Am I really devoted? Is Christ and serving Him number one? Is that what I am devoted? Or have I got snagged someplace and been pulled away? And you might think of it this way. You remember those early days of your conversion? Those early days. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you with all of my being and the zeal you had. Yes, we have to be honest. A lot of that early converted zeal had quite a bit of carnality in it. But shouldn't there still be some zeal there? Some wholehearted devotion there? Timothy, remember that soldier. He took an oath. He's committed. He's got to be focused. He could lose his life. But then, along with this devotion, certainly one truly devoted, there's got to be some discipline. There's got to be some discipline in his life. And so the believer is one who has got discipline in his life as regards the faith. And to illustrate that, you notice what Timothy does. He says, he also, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. A true athlete, he's a disciplined man. He is a disciplined man. He is a man who's disciplined with reference to his eating, his drinking, his sleeping, his exercise, and he's a man who must compete according to the rules. You see, every sport has some rules. If you don't obey or play by the rules, you can be eliminated. And I remember my children are involved in track, and boy, and someone gets out of the lane, they're out. This happens, they're out. Same thing today, hey, you're out. You have to abide by the rules, you see.
Timothy, you've got to be a disciplined man. Timothy, you can't cut corners.
And is there not a tendency we cut a few corners with reference to the Christian life? Oh, a little bit of cheating here will profit me. No, you've got to play by the rules, Timothy. And think about that athlete, such a disciplined man. He's a man that pours his whole soul into his sport. And I remember seeing little things on TV concerning those who get involved in the Olympic Games. You have some of them, they started out rather as young children, and they missed so many activities at school. Some of them were 18, 19, didn't have a driver's license. They focused. This was the most important thing in life. And they get a temporary crown. A little bit of applause. And then they're old and fade away. Timothy, we labor for a crown that endures forever. We endure a crown or receive a crown from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Timothy, don't cut corners in your ministry. People will pick up on it, and you've had the experience. You go someplace for worship, and what's your conclusion? That man wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared. Now, give the guy a break. Maybe he stayed up all night at a hospital or something like that. I got to protect myself, you know. But Timothy, don't cut corners. You've got to be a diligent man. Timothy, you've got to give yourself, you see, to that work. In fact, when you look back at 1 Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. You notice, give yourself into Timothy, it's your life. If he called you to the ministry, that's your life. what you focus on. That's what you're always working on. That's what you're always thinking about. And so we focus upon the fact I'm a Christian man, a Christian woman, and I give myself to Christ. I am to live my life for Christ. Remember the psalm, that one about the cross, and page 187 or 6. Here I am, Lord, what can I do but give myself away? I give myself away. Timothy, you're going to have to be a disciplined man. But then somewhat of an overlapping. Not only is there this devotion, this discipline, there's got to be diligence. Diligence. How does he illustrate that? The farmer. The old farmer. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So the farmer, he's a man that he is hardworking, as the text says. And having had a little experience with my grandpa on the farm and farming community, that's all a farmer does. He works. Sun up, sun down, he works. And a true farmer knows how dependent he is upon God. Even in our modern days, the rain, the sunshine, you notice how insects can destroy a crop, animals destroy a crop. This hard-working farmer. Timothy, the ministry for you consists of hard work. You go back, 1 Timothy, those qualifications. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of bishop, he desires a good work. And a lot of times that word is forgot. Work. Work. And then he brings it out, and later on in the 5th chapter in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor. 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 The Christian life consists of a lot of hard work. You've got to be alert. You've got to take heed. There's always something to do, some area to improve upon. Timothy, you're going to have to work hard like the farmer. And maybe there's a little implication in here. Timothy! Farmers aren't appreciated. They're not appreciated. Now tell me, last time you went to the grocery store and there's that produce section, did you bow your head for just a moment and say, oh God, thank you for the hardworking farmer. That's the means you use to provide such an abundance. You look down the shelves, all that canned food, God, thank you for that hardworking farmer. Now you don't do that. Farmer's not appreciated. Timothy, you're not going to be too appreciated. Highly criticized. They're not really appreciated. Timothy, you keep on working. You keep on working because you serve the Lord Christ. That's the one you are concerned about. And then finally he says this, consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. In other words, Timothy, I want you to think about these illustrations. Timothy, I simply wasn't being cute or trying to enrich the sermon I'm giving to you with a few illustrations. Think about them. May the Lord give you understanding. Pray about these things, Timothy. Because you see, I give them to you, Timothy, for your help, your aid, your encouragement. Because Timothy, as I've already indicated, there will come those times when people leave the faith. People will leave from out under you. Timothy, toughen up. Toughen up. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, you see other things happening. You stay focused. You be a disciplined man. Don't cut corners. In our day and age, there's a lot of people cutting corners. In the ministry, cutting corners. Some of these churches, 10, 20,000 people, they have no gospel message. They're simply setting forth what the natural man wants to hear. Health, wealth, prosperity? Doesn't every unregenerate person want that? What about your sin? What about repentance? What about turning from it? No. In fact, just this morning I was shocked. Some guy, I don't know who he was, but it was this seed money. You know, you laid up $1,000 for yourself, but God's telling you to send that $1,000 to me and it'll just be like seed and you'll get more. That lying reprobate. May God shut his mouth. May God shut the mouth of all such ministers, so-called. Timothy, you're in for a lot of work. You're going to have to be tough. You're going to have to be disciplined. And so it's something that we can think about, the Lord's Day. And so we could think about our devotion. Am I still devoted to Christ? Is He number one in my life? Have I got ensnared with something? Maybe ensnared with a little too much of watching the TV. Maybe snared a little too much with my smartphone, you know. It's so full of knowledge and I just can't put it down. And I'm amazed at people, they want to have a conversation, ask me a question, they keep working on that cell phone. What an insult. Facebook. Oh, man, all the juicy stuff I can get. It's so profitable for me spiritually. We get snagged. We get ensnared. Devotion, discipline, and work. Look out at the world. The ungodly man, he's devoted, isn't he? Devoted to his own desires, devoted to his own flesh, devoted to his own prosperity. And he goes after it, and he works hard. And what's his reward? Hell! That's his reward. You remember those words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? He put it forth this way to us, something that we see going on. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Brethren, stay in that narrow way. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord God Almighty, we thank you for these illustrations and may our souls feed upon them from time to time. Because, O Lord, it is so easy to become discouraged. It is so easy to become ensnared with the things of this life. Help us to be devoted people. Help us to be people of discipline and people of diligence, following after our Savior, for we see all these qualities in Him. Amen.